As we prepare our hearts for worship, hear these words from Psalm 113. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, from this time on and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God? Who is seated on high? Who looks far down on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes, with the princes of his people. He gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children. Praise the Lord. Would you pray with me? Our God, we have come to this place to respond to the invitation of the psalmist, and that is to praise your name, O Lord. We've come to join our voices with the saints and the angels around your throne and declaring who you are and how good you are and how worthy of our lives you are. And so, God, in these moments, would you heal every place in us that is sick? Would you bring to life every place in us that is numb and that is dead? Would you stir in us your love and your compassion and your kindness for this world that we call home for now? Would you send us from this place just a little while from now, more on fire for our love for you and for your people than before we came? We have come, O God, to meet with you. Thank you that you meet us here. Your will be done, O God. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're continuing on this morning in our series of what we are called to do. And we actually have 5 different Bible verses to look at. So maybe just look at the screen, unless you're really good at flipping back and forth. Revelation chapter 3. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either cold or hot. So because you're lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. If I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there's within me something like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I'm weary with holding it in, and I cannot. Luke 24, when he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scripture to us? Romans chapter 12, don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be alert servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. And Hebrews 12:29, for indeed our God is a consuming fire. Would you pray with me? Father God, as we turn to your word, we ask that the same Spirit who inspired all of the writings of it, from Jeremiah to Revelation, would also fill our hearts as we receive it today. God, we've come to this place because we want to hear from you, and we trust that you, our good Father, want to speak to us. And so with your Spirit's help, would you help us hear whatever it is you want us to hear? So you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be. So you might help us do whatever it is you want us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. A tale of two teachers. The first is Ben Stein from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Can you picture the scene? In 1930... the Republicans controlled the House of Representatives in order to alleviate the effects of anyone, Great Depression. passed the tariff bill. Anyone? Which raised or lowered, raised tariffs to collect more revenue for the government. Did it work? Anyone? It didn't work. And it goes on for like 2 minutes. The screen goes to people's faces totally blanked out. One guy's on his desk drooling. The second, Bob Ross. Who doesn't love Bob Ross? I know you have his t-shirt. The world's favorite teacher. On the other side of that, on that TV screen, he invites all of us into his happy world of happy trees and happy flowers and happy skies and, yes, even happy mistakes. They're both teachers. What's the difference? Tale of two coaches. One appropriate for this time, Pete Carroll. When it's not at 10 a.m., I love to watch him on the sideline chomping his gum. He is so anxious about this game. And I love how after the games, he always talks up his guys on his team. And when asked about his philosophy, he said, you know, it's actually not about winning. It's about striving, teaching people to have passion to do their very best. And then there was my 7th grade volleyball coach. I don't even remember her name. What I remember is that it seemed the last place she wanted to be on earth was with us. She'd spend practices on her phone doing who knows what. And during games, I don't think in that entire year I ever saw her stand up. She would sit on the end of the bench, not say a word, unless it was time for a sub. You could tell that she only wanted the paycheck, which I can't imagine was that great for club volleyball. But it was just a job. I spent a whole year under her coaching, and for the life of me, I can't remember her name. Both coaches, what's the difference? A tale of two pastors. One was the pastor at my former church before I was there. And word around the church was that he should have retired about 10 years before he did. At some point along the way, they all said, you know, he just burned out. And he just kind of started coasting. They said that he would show up 10 minutes before his worship service started. And then the second he was done, he would leave through the side door so nobody could talk to him. Did that for 10 years. It all came to head on his final Easter Sunday at that church when he went the entire service and somehow forgot to mention the resurrection of Jesus. The second pastor, my grandpa, told you this about him before. He was a Baptist preacher his whole life. And by the time he was 90 years old, he hadn't preached in a couple years. He had really bad neuropathy, could hardly stand. I called him on a Saturday morning. Hey, Papa, what are you up to? He said, oh, I'm just writing a sermon. I was like, surprised. Are you preaching tomorrow? He said, well, not that I know of. He said, but I just thought I should maybe be ready in case somebody needs me. In his 90s, still putting together a fresh word from God for the people of God, just in case God might need him. Both pastors. What's the difference? It's this thing called passion, heart, dedication, love for a calling, passion. I ask this morning, what's your passion? What do you have some heart for? What do you have some drive for? What gets you up in the morning? What do you have some commitment to? What is your passion? And is there one passion that all of God's people are actually called to share in common? We've got all of our diversity, and that's good. But is there one passion that we are actually called to hold together? Our story says there is. Over and over and over again, God calls his people. God begs his people, if nothing else, to just be passionate about him. God's people. They're called to have some fire in their bones when it comes to their life with God. And perhaps the most famous verse about all this comes from the Spirit's words to that church in Laodicea in Revelation 3. God says, I know your works. You're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one, but because you're lukewarm, not cold, not hot, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. God cries out to his church, you're not hot, you're not cold. I wish you would just pick one. Be for me or be against me. Be fully in or be fully out. But this half-hearted, lukewarm faith isn't what I'm after. God calls his church to have some passion. Be hot. Have some fire in your bones as the living God actually lives in you. That's our calling. You see, it turns out that God's actually not that interested in being shoved into our already jam-packed schedules, taking a little slot on the calendar. God says, be hot or be cold. Be in or be out. He says, want all of me or want none of me. He says, let your heart be consumed by my fire, or just shut your heart off to my warmth altogether. Make your choice, he says. But if you choose me, choose all of me. Be hot. Be on fire. In our life with God, are we hot? Are we cold? Somewhere in between, lukewarm. Only one of those is our calling. The rest are falling short. We're called to be hot, passionate children of God. How does this play out? Lots of ways. We're going to look at just a few of them. We're called to have passion for God's word. Jeremiah 20, verse 9, the prophet Jeremiah, he is so weary. Weary of preaching the word of the living God to hard hearts and to deaf ears. And he just wants to quit. He wants to quit. He's so discouraged by all these people that are so unmoved by the words of life that are spoken right to them. But after about his 100th time of trying to walk away, Jeremiah just cries out. He says, you know, if I say that I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, then within me, he says, there's like a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I'm weary of holding it in. I cannot. The words of God burned in Jeremiah like a fire. They consumed him, they ignited him, and they burst out of him so others could hear them too. We too are called to have a burning passion for God's word. God's word, it's the only place that we'll discover who we really are. It's the only place that we will know what God's heart actually beats for. God's word, it's the main place that you will actually hear God speak to you any given day. Doesn't your heart long to hear your Father speak? Don't you want that more than anything? I crave it. Don't you too? This word, it's his gift to us, so we will hear his voice, so our hearts will actually be formed by his heart. Are you passionate for it? When you wake up in the morning, is there this burning in your heart that there is nothing you desire more than to open up this treasure chest right here and see what the lover of your soul has to say to you today? Is there anything that excites you more than that? How can we be numb to it? Every day, words of life, waiting to meet your heart from your Father God. Are you passionate for it? I tell you the truth, some Sundays, just some Sundays, not all Sundays, I feel a little bit like Jeremiah. There's this word that I'm convinced that God put on my heart for his people in this very place because he loves you so much. And I pray over that word all week. And I toil over that word. And I come Sunday morning with this fire inside of me, and I'm so excited to send it out to you and to see you catch the flame. I can't wait. And sometimes when my heart is most ready to see God's people come alive, I look out at sleepy eyes and blank stares and folks checking email or whatever the distraction is. And my heart just sinks within me. And I feel all of Jeremiah's feels, because the words of life are right there for the taking. And hearts are somehow numb to it. And I tell you guys, there's been a lot of Sundays in 5 years that I go home a little discouraged and I start Googling other jobs I might be qualified for, because I'm like, God, this isn't working. Guess what happens, you guys? After Sunday comes Monday. And Monday morning, I wake up to be with my Jesus because I crave it. And I open my heart to his word again. And guess what he does? Every single time. He gets a fresh word stirring in me. And guess what my first thought is every single time? I can't wait until Sunday. I've got to share this word with these people that I love. Because you see, there's a fire in me, these words, and they just keep lighting back up. Even if you yawn in my face, I will try it again next week. Because I don't know what else to do. God put the fire there, my friends, and I can't hold it inside. Are you catching it too? I'll tell you someone who is, and she's going to hate this. My friend Kara is. She's hiding behind the camera on purpose. She doesn't like this, but you got to know. Because she has this love for the word that inspires me so much. She was baptized right here 2 years ago. And when she came out of those waters and stepped into new life with Jesus, holy smokes, did she mean it. And she has spent the last 2 years soaking up every second she can get in God's word. She's the one person in the whole church of a couple hundred people who dared to sign up for both the Alpha group and the Good Shepherd group this year. She's here every Thursday night. Above everything else, choosing to be around the table, digging into God's word with his children. And that's not all, not just every Thursday night. While she already was doing that, one of our youth, Mamie, reached out to her, said, "Hey, I want to go deeper into scripture. Will you meet with me and we can go through the gospels?" Every Wednesday night, they get together and walk through Luke, and now they're in John. And they'll sometimes send me questions in the off days to keep on keeping on. And then on top of that, I see her name pop up on the morning prayer times quite often. Any chance she gets to be where God's word is being heard, she's there. There's this fire deep in her bones that makes her have to be there. And I can hear some of your thoughts, must be the spirit of me, saying, must be nice. If she had my schedule, she'd get it. Well, the truth is, my friend Kara works full-time at the shipyard. Guess what time she leaves her house for work every morning? 4:20 a.m. You see, it's not a matter of being busy or not. It is a matter of fire, of passion in our hearts. It is a matter of deep hunger for the word of God. If we're starving for it, we won't be able to stay away from it. Let his word be a fire in your bones. That is our calling, people of God, to be people of passion. Passion for God's word. And a passion for God's presence. There's this beautiful story in Luke 24 where there's these couple of guys and they're heading home away from Jerusalem after seeing Jesus, who they hoped was the Messiah, killed before their eyes. They're totally discouraged. And this stranger, it's Jesus, but they don't know it at the time, he starts walking and talking with them. They make it all the way to their village, and he's still there, so they invite him into their house for the evening. Jesus sits at the table with them. He breaks bread, and as he does it, their eyes are open to recognize him. And just like that, Jesus disappears. And they look at each other and they say to each other, "Were not our hearts burning in his presence?" My friends, when's the last time your heart burned in the presence of the living God? When's the last time in worship that you were just so overcome by how passionately you love him and by how much he loves you? John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, his story starts where he kind of knew about God, but he was in a rut. He felt depressed, discouraged, unexcited about anything that had to do with God. He found that he was just kind of going through the motions. And a wise friend came to him and said, "John, just keep doing what you know is faithful. And even though you don't feel it, that fire will come back." And John did just that. And sure enough, one night he was at a camp meeting. That's like a big worship service back in the old days. And he found his heart, his own words, strangely warmed in that place. His heart was strangely warmed. That ever happened to you? The fire of God, being in God's presence, was lighting up in him again. And John Wesley would never be the same. He went on to preach to thousands upon thousands, started a whole denomination that's going strong today. Because in the presence of God, his heart was strangely warmed. Sometimes I fear when we come to worship, or when we open our hearts up to prayer, we forget that we're opening our beings up to connect to the God who is actually alive and who is powerful over all and who is holy and who is worthy of our full attention, of our entire lives. I fear sometimes when we enter these doors that we forget that by doing that, we are actually giving God permission to have us and to change us and to maybe even ask something of us because he is God. I fear that sometimes we let ourselves become so comfortable in his presence, just the old man upstairs, that we forget what a miracle it is to be forgiven by him and loved by him. I fear that we can too easily just kind of sit quiet during songs and just let our minds wander 1,000 places during prayer, when what's happening right before us is this gateway, this portal between heaven and earth is wide open, asking any who dare to actually come and enter in. If we dare to step across it, we are actually engaging the living God. And that is a stinking big deal. You know, when you really love someone and they come home after a long day at work or after a whole week away, and you know how you anticipate their arrival, and you know how your spirit feels strangely warmed when they're back in your presence. You know that, right? When's the last time we allowed our hearts to be warmed in God's presence? When's the last time we lost all inhibitions and sang our hearts out? Not because we were high on something besides the Holy Spirit. When's the last time we sat in a quiet room and didn't dare make a noise because we knew Jesus was in that place and we didn't want to miss a thing he might have to say? When's the last time you felt a cold, numb place in your life start to warm up, start to feel again in the presence of the living God? When's the last time? You see, we're called to be with our God until our hearts are burning within us. I don't understand bored Christians. I don't get it. How are we doing this call for passion? We're called to be passionate about God's word and in God's presence. Finally, about seeing our calling from God through. Romans 12, Paul says, don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled in a flame. Be alert servants of God. Don't you dare quit in hard times. He's saying, Christians, stay passionate about your life with Jesus until you take your final breath. Those of you who have read scripture, have read the whole story, have you ever noticed that as much as you look, there's really no talk of retirement? You notice that? It's a hard one to find. Instead, our story is full of God praising those who serve him faithfully until the very, very end. Moses died, pointing his people to God's promised land. Paul sits in a prison at the end of his life, and he asks Timothy to bring him his books. Still more to learn at the very end. His fire never went out. Mother Teresa, she died in 1997 at the age of 87. Do you know where she was when she died? Not back home with her family, retired from a good life of ministry. She died in a hospital in Calcutta, the same Indian city that she had served since 1928. Her fire to faithfully serve the Lord never went out. You're like, that's Mother Teresa. Our friend, Judy Hastings, she's under the care of hospice right now. She's looking at the end of her precious life this side of heaven. She went to the hospital about a month ago. But do you know where she was 6 weeks ago? She was sitting in a parking lot right out there with about 10 of us, with this little green book in her hand, asking, how can I be a healing agent in a broken world? How can I come awake to what it means to be an agent of racial reconciliation? 6 weeks ago, up until the very end, saying, how can I still be fully in to whatever Jesus is asking me to do? What's your calling? How's God asked you to share his heart on this earth? And is that fire still going in you as you keep faithfully pouring out? There's no such thing as I did my years of serving. Now my kids are all grown. Now I'm coasting till God calls me home. No coasting, you guys. That's not in the Bible. Paul says, don't burn out. Don't quit. Keep the fire burning. Serve Jesus with all you've got, every moment you've got. Don't burn out. Stay hot until the very end. You're like, well, that's good. How the heck do we do it? How do we catch the fire? How do we stay on fire? It's easy, you guys. We live in Washington. We camp all the time. Besides, right now, don't do that right now. But how do you do it? It's easy. How do you catch fire? How do you stay on fire? You hang out by the fire. You're like, I came to church for that. Take notes. This is good. Hebrews 12, 29, it says, our God is a consuming fire. God is the fire. When your hands get numb outside in the winter, what do? You hold them over the fire. When your body is shivering down to your bones, what do? You hover by the fire. You make your camp there. You wait there. You sit there long enough until you get hot enough to be able to walk away and carry that warmth with you for a while. And as the warmth eventually starts to wear off, what do? You go back to the fire. She's not even looking up and she got it. That's awesome. God is the fire. God's the fire. We are called to stay on fire. This week, might we stay on fire? Might we live in the nearness of God? However busy your week ahead looks, or however retired you already feel, our call is the same, children of God. Get on fire. and live on fire for Jesus. Do it by staying near the fire. Set up camp with Jesus. If you're finding the Christian life boring these days, my oh my, you've just wandered from the fire. Come home and stay home until your heart is lit up once again. We are called to live on fire. God's the fire. Come home. Father God, keep stirring the fire in us. God, help us draw so near to you and be our consuming fire. Be the reason we live. Be the reason we breathe. Be the reason we work. Be the reason we love. Forgive us for being bored Christians sometimes. Forgive us for living in numbness and complacency and being okay with it. Forgive us for walking right past your word over and over again because something else is calling our attention. Forgive us for the things we hunger for that are not of you, and for the ways that our appetite for you sometimes has gone by the wayside. God, thank you that you're so full of grace and so full of love. And thank you that your fire is burning as much as ever. So we just got to come back to it. This week, oh God, we're going to draw near. We're going to hang out with you. And hanging out with you, set a fire down in our bones that we cannot keep in. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.